Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start of scene. Lila and Lalandil finally finish their journey up the mountain. As they approach the structure in the dreamscape, Ilara recognizes it as Frostburn Academy. Once they pass the threshold onto the grounds of the school, the temperature immediately raises and becomes far more temperate.
"Now this is more like it," she says, stretching her arms and taking a deep breath. "No more cold or mist. Just a nice warm place to rest and catch our breath."
"Well, now that we have found our destination," she says, pointing to the structure that looms before them, "we can finally find out what we are supposed to be looking for there. If it is an avatar, or a vessel of an archfey, or maybe an actual god, I still feel it could be here in this place."
I nod in agreement with Ilara, a sense of purpose and anticipation building within me. There has been so much confusion and misinformation surrounding Corellon's intentions, and the true nature of the conflict that threatens to tear apart the very fabric of existence in the Feywild. If indeed Frostburn Academy holds the key to unraveling the mysteries of this complex situation, then the least we can do is to proceed with caution, wisdom, and a healthy dose of skepticism.
I pause, my brow furrowing as I try to make sense of the situation. But why would this place exist in the dreamscape, tied to Corellon's emotions and thought? It makes no sense to me. I turn to Ilara and Elendil. "And do you not feel a certain unease about this? As if something is amiss here."
"I look at the academy, and I can't shake the feeling that something is off. But what could it be? I don't understand why this academy exists in Corellon's dreamscape, or why it seems to be connected to him in any way. But if there is one thing I have learned from our quest so far, it is that nothing is ever as simple or straightforward as it might initially seem. I can't help but wonder. Maybe this academy exists in Corellon's dreamscape because of me. I mean, I did dream about this place before our quest, and I wonder if those dreams might be somehow tied to what we're experiencing now." She pauses, her thoughts swirling with curiosity. "But if that is indeed the case, what does it mean? And how might it impact our search for the avatar, vessel, or god that we were sent here to find?"
As the group walks the grounds of the school, Ilara realizes a lot has changed from when she was in school. Frostburn Academy was a school that specialized in cryomancy. While the grounds were warmer than the mountainside, it was still cold at the school. But here, the college is perpetually in springtime. Flowers are blooming, and the warm sun is bright in the sky.
My heart fills with a bittersweet mixture of nostalgia and awe as I step onto the grounds of Frostburn Academy, taking in the changes that have transformed the once cold, snow-filled landscape into a vibrant haven of life and beauty. It's a stark contrast to the harsh, frozen mountainside we left behind, a testament to the incredible power of dreams and imagination to reshape the very fabric of our perceptions.
"Look at all those flowers. The birds are singing too. It's like a paradise," she exclaims with genuine delight and wonder on her face, the chill of the outside world momentarily forgotten.
Her heart pounds faster now as she realizes the truth behind the magical changes that have overtaken the once dreary grounds of Frostburn Academy. Perhaps this paradise is the work of Corellon himself? She turns to Lila and Elendil with a hint of excitement and awe in her eyes. "Or perhaps is avatar or a vessel someone imbued with the essence of the elven god. The fact that this place has been transformed, the school, into a vibrant haven of springtime energy, It seems like too much of a coincidence to be mere chance.
I cannot help but feel a tingle of excitement and anticipation at the prospect that Corellon may indeed be the mastermind behind this enchanted vision of Frostburn Academy. It would certainly explain the warmth and vibrancy that surrounds us, not to mention the fact that this place seems to have no connection to the harsh reality of the Feywild Strife. But, even if this is truly the work of Corellon, there are still many questions left unanswered. For now at least we have found a place to rest and recuperate, a sanctuary of sorts amidst the chaos that threatens to consume our world. I do not deny the beauty and allure of this transformed academy. Perhaps it is the work of a god, but only Corellon could have managed such a feat without giving himself away completely. And even so, we still have many questions to answer before we can fully grasp the significance of this discovery. But for now, let us simply enjoy this respite, this momentary peace and tranquility. We have earned it after all.
Up ahead, a beautiful elven maiden carries a golden longbow. Her long golden hair runs down her back. She appears to be wearing dresses with hues of springtime grass and flowers.
I notice the beautiful maiden approaching, her long golden hair flowing like the sun itself, and her dress shimmering with hues of spring's vibrant life force. Surely this must be someone somehow connected to Corellon. He pauses for a moment, his brow furrowing slightly as he tries to read the woman's intentions, even as he marvels at her ethereal beauty.
Her heart quickens as she spots the maiden approaching, her eyes widening with wonder and anticipation. Even before she can get a good look at the woman's face, she can see the magic radiating from her, the way the sunlight dances upon the very fabric of her being. It's unlike anything Lila has ever seen before. My, who is this? Surely not a mortal, but rather a creature from the realms of magic. She stands up, eager to greet the newcomer with respect and curiosity.
The maiden turns towards Lila, leveling her bow. Tok Sayin, Aile Agus, Bai Diha Metina.
I raise my hands slowly, palms outstretched, in a gesture of peaceful submission. The bow the maiden points at me sends shivers down my spine, and I can feel a strange tingling sensation coursing through my veins, a power that I do not recognize or understand. Dialion Mitu, Aon Doha. I respond, my voice calm and steady.
I watch with a mix of caution and curiosity as Lila attempts to communicate with the maiden. It seems to me that whatever her true nature may be, she does not appear to be hostile toward our intentions, but only time will tell. I will remain vigilant, just in case.
Why have you entered my reverie? Do you think I cannot detect outsiders?
I meant no offense or invasion. I only sought answers. Please tell us why your land looks so beautiful and different from the Feywild.
Is this your home? I ask, curiosity shining in my eyes. I know of you, Corellon, as a god. And now, to see such a place, it's hard to imagine that this couldn't be your handiwork.
Not my creation. Human wizards crafted this here long ago to study primordial cryomancy in relative comfort. I found the area a bit cold for my taste, so I made it more livable.
A wave of realization washes over me as the truth behind the Avatar's presence in this place becomes clear. It makes perfect sense now that Corellon would be drawn to such an enchanted spot, far removed from the harsh realities of the Feywild and its seasons. Of course, it all makes perfect sense now. This place, its eternal spring, the perfect temperature and warmth, it was made for you, wasn't it? And not just for your own comfort or enjoyment, but also to act as a haven, a sanctuary, where you could find peace and solace, away from the chaos of your duties as a god.
I find myself nodding in agreement with Ilara's insights, a small smile tugging at the corners of my mouth. To think that even the great god Corellon needed a place like this, a refuge from the constant demands and burdens that come with his station, it's humbling in a way. To think that even a god might find it necessary to retreat from the world and rest, to seek solace in something as mundane as a school, of all things. But in its own way, it speaks to the wisdom and compassion of your nature, Corellon. And perhaps, in a small way, it serves as a reminder of the human side of your essence, the side that yearns for peace and tranquility, just as we all do.
I cannot help but notice the subtle, almost imperceptible tension in the Avatar's demeanor, the flicker of something almost like concern or fear in her eyes. and I suddenly realize that the true reason behind her presence here, beneath this magical veil of perpetual springtime, goes far beyond even the simple desire for a peaceful retreat from one's duties. The fact is, she has been drawn here because this is one of the few places in all of the world where she can truly be safe, a place that is sheltered from the chaos and strife that have come to define the world she has sworn to protect. It's not just about you, Corellon. It's not just about finding a place to rest, to unwind from the pressures of your divine duties. This place, this school, it's a sanctuary of sorts. A place where you can be safe, where no matter what happens in the Feywild, no matter what conflicts and wars may rage, you will always remain protected.
As Ilara says the words, the Avatar fires her bow straight at Ilara. Ilara is gone, cast out of the dream world.
I can hardly believe what is happening. The sudden shift in the Avatar's demeanor, the flash of fear in her eyes, the rapidity and intensity of her reaction. It all feels so alien, so foreign to the gentle, almost ethereal presence she has been for so long. What has happened, Ilara? I look at Lila, searching her eyes for any sign of injury or distress, even as my heart pounds in my chest with fear and confusion.
And Radsiana, a dehonfad me dui, nya feidir, lit me atapas as a older.
What do you mean? I cry out, my voice tinged with disbelief and confusion. What happened to Ilara?
The bow fires and strikes Lila in the chest. She is gone in an instant.
As I watch in horror, I feel my heart plummet into my stomach, the weight of disbelief and dread crushing upon me. My senses scream at me to flee, to find Lila, to save her from whatever fate has befallen her. But at the same time, I can hardly comprehend what is happening. How could such a tragedy occur, especially when the one responsible is Corellon himself, a god whom we had trusted with our lives?
The maiden levels her bow at Elendil.
So this is your work, Corellon. My voice shakes with a mix of anger and despair, but there is a fire burning beneath the surface that I can hardly contain. To use a place that you had deemed a sanctuary, a haven, and then to betray our trust, to destroy those we love, those whom we had come to believe in your goodness and kindness towards us. I take a step forward, my eyes blazing with righteous fury and grief. You have no right to do this to us, Corellon. No right at all.
No. You have no right to invade my own thoughts and dreams. You pierced my sanctuary, and you want what? You think I should show mercy to a thief in the night?
I take a deep breath, trying to calm myself, to compose the rage and despair that threatened to consume me. It is a futile effort, for the grief and anger are like wildfire in my veins, consuming every rational thought, leaving naught but pain and vengeance in its wake. I came here in search of answers, I say. My voice strained with emotion and barely controlled fury. Answers to the questions of your intentions, of your actions. But it seems that now, we are left with nothing but questions and the bitter taste of betrayal. My gaze pierces through the ethereal veil of Corellon's illusions, boring into his very essence. What have you done, Corellon? What have you become? Is it true, what they say, that the gods themselves have turned against us?
The maiden fires the bow.
It is okay. You are safe now.
I was going to ask how the arrow could hurt me, but now I know.
As I open my eyes, the first thing that registers in my consciousness is the cold, hard floor beneath my cheek, and the sharp, agonizing pain in my chest where the arrow had struck me. The last thing I remember is being in the presence of Corellon's avatar, and the sudden shock and confusion that had washed over me as I realized the true extent of her intentions. And now, to wake up here, like this, it's as if a great and terrible nightmare has become reality.
Ole puts his hand on Ilara's shoulder. It is okay. You are free from the Avatar's dream. You are unharmed.
I stare up at Ole in disbelief and gratitude, tears streaming down my cheeks as relief and joy wash over me in equal measure. What did you do? I ask, my voice trembling with emotion, my heart pounding in my chest as I try to fully comprehend what had just happened, what I had nearly suffered at the hands of Corellon's treacherous avatar. Was that a dream? I couldn't tell if it was real or just an illusion, a creation of my own fears and doubts, born out of the deep and twisted madness that dwells within the heart of Corellon himself. But now you tell me that I am free, that I am unharmed? It's hard to believe, but it must be true, right? I can feel my body. I can hear my own breathing. I can see you, Olulu Lukosius, standing there beside me, watching over me with those piercing eyes. It's all so surreal.
Elara is okay, thank you, I murmur softly, relief flooding me as I watch my friend take a shaky breath and blink her eyes open, the confusion and fear melting away into wonderment and gratitude. I cannot deny that I am still shaken by the encounter with the Avatar, by the betrayal of a god who had once seemed so compassionate and understanding. But the fact that we are here now, that Elara has been unharmed, it means that we can carry on our quest, that we can still make a difference in this world.
The Master of Dreams all responds, yes, you are all safe. A nightmare is only dangerous until you awaken. I warned you of the power the Avatar would have in his dreamscape, but hopefully, you have learned what you needed to, and can heal the Feywild. Perhaps he wanted you to understand why he kept his divinity, why he returned to the Feywild. Perhaps he was looking for your pity or your mercy. Now you have seen, though, he is a danger to himself and to the Feywild. His existence is what is harming the balance of nature, and so he must be stopped.
I know his avatar is in Frostburn Academy. I realized that before she shot me. That is where we must go next.
I think she has a point. If we're to find this avatar, then we should start there.
I agree. Let's get moving then. I don't want to keep you waiting much longer.
End of scene. Start of scene. Cassia's safe house. Most of the party is still asleep, but Valarissa and Gromgar wake early. The war between spring and winter fae rages on. Weather has been equally extreme, as the conflict has started to have an effect on the material plane. Elara has worked with local druids to ensure the city avoids the worst of the weather, but travel is now much harder. Outside, a thick fog lays over the city, while the sound of thunder is heard constantly in the distance.
Something feels wrong, Gromgar.
I sense it too. Like an unnatural darkness hovering over everything.
It's almost like Corellon's power has begun to corrupt even the world beyond the Feywild.
Valarissa is right. This feeling I sense is like nothing I've felt before. It's dark and it's growing.
The storm has arrived. What's left to discuss? I say we go there.
Agreed, but we'll need to be careful. Whatever is happening, it's clear now that it's more serious than any of us anticipated.
Lila awakens next. She is weary from exerting herself trying to control the weather enough to protect the city.
As I slowly awaken from my slumber, my senses immediately register the palpable sense of dread and unease that permeates the very air itself. The storm that Gromgar and Valarissa were speaking of. It's more than just an ordinary tempest. I can feel its raw, primal power, like a dark and restless force that threatens to consume everything in its wake. That's bad, I say quietly, my voice still thick with sleep and fatigue. But as much as I wish to simply snuggle back into the warmth and safety of my bed and forget about the turmoil outside, I know that we cannot afford to turn a blind eye to this crisis any longer. Whatever is happening, whatever darkness Corellon has unleashed upon this world, it will not go away by itself.
It's the storm of 1,000 years, girl. Can't you feel its power in the air? And look outside. That fog is unnatural. The real fog just ain't like that. It just ain't.
Corellon's corruption is real now. It's spreading beyond the Feywild. I can feel it in my bones.
And here I was starting to feel like there might be a chance, a sliver of hope that our journey wasn't for naught.
The balance is shifting. The harmony of nature is breaking. But there is still a way forward. Out.
You're right, Elara. There's still hope. We're stronger now than we've ever been. We just need to find a way to heal the Feywild without letting the darkness of Corellon's corruption take hold.
The Feywild has to be protected. Whoa. That's why we're here. We can't just turn our backs on it no matter what. We'll face whatever comes our way, and we'll win one way or another.
I think I may have an idea. She hesitates, biting her lip as she tries to find the right words to explain the thought that has been circling in her mind ever since we discovered Corellon's true intentions. It's risky. It's dangerous even. But if we can manage it, if we can pull it off, then maybe, just maybe, we'll have a chance at saving the Feywild, and maybe even finding a way to heal Corellon and restore balance to the world.
I like the sound of that. We heal, Ulamvik. What exactly did you have in mind, Ilara? I watch Ilara curiously, my eyes filled with a mix of hope and anticipation as I wait to hear the details of her idea.
Me too, I add eagerly, my own mind already racing with thoughts of possibilities and consequences. Go on, Ilara, tell us.
All right, here it is. We could lure the avatar of Corellon into Sigil somehow, but I'm not talking about going to her on the academy grounds. She hesitates slightly, biting her lower lip as she gathers the courage to continue. I'm talking about getting him to follow us back into Sigil. Theoretically, if we could get her to cross the threshold of the city gates, the lady would take care of him. Her voice trembles with the weight of what she is suggesting, with the knowledge of the risk she is asking us to take.
And you think we could pull it off? I ask skeptically, my tail flicking nervously against my leg. I mean, we're talking about a god's avatar here, for crying out loud.
The danger, Lass. Can you imagine what that might mean for the world, if we get the avatar all wronged-like? Maybe we're thinking too far ahead for our own good. His gruff tone is filled with doubt and hesitation, but I can see a flicker of hope in his eyes, a willingness to consider Ilara's plan as a possibility.
We have to at least think about it. If there's a chance, I'll take that chance, even if it's a slim one. The balance of nature, of the Feywild, it's too precious to give up without a fight.
I can't help but feel a surge of excitement at the idea, at the prospect of taking this bold, risky step towards what could potentially be our salvation, towards a chance at healing not just the Feywild, but Corellon as well. But I also know that this is a path fraught with danger. There are no guarantees that this would work. And if we fail, if we make one mistake, everything could fall apart. But I turn to Ilara, my eyes filled with admiration and faith in her leadership. I trust your judgment, Ilara. If you believe we can do this, then so do I. I'm in, no matter how dangerous the task may be.
How are you going to lure it into Sigil, then? And even if you can get it inside the city walls, will it fall prey to Sigil's defenses?
True, lad. The Lady of Pain, she ain't one to play around with. But I can think of at least one thing the Avatar of Corellon might want or need bad enough to come after.
A powerful magic item, something only Corellon knows about.
But wouldn't we have to know exactly what this item is first? How do we find it out before going ahead with this plan?
Or maybe not exactly know, but rather figure it out ourselves. After all, Corellon is known as a bard. That means he knows his music. Maybe there's an old tune of his that, if played correctly, it could draw her attention enough to lure her to Sigil.
The whispering seraphim lute, playing a song from Corellon's past, will surely catch the Avatar's attention. But as Grongar said, we'll still need to trick her into crossing into Sigil.
Ah, that's easy. You lure her into one of the gates while she's all distracted and starry-eyed. Sigil has many gates. Maybe one of the closed gates is near the academy, so she won't suspect anything too unusual.
And then once she's through, Lady of Pain would do the rest. It's a dangerous move, but it could potentially save the Feywild.
As I listen to the suggestions that are being discussed, my mind begins to spin with the possibilities and the potential consequences of this plan. I cannot deny that there is a certain level of genius in the idea of using the power of music to draw the Avatar into a trap. But I also cannot shake the feeling that we are taking a monumental risk here. And yet, I look at my friends, each one of them ready to embrace this perilous endeavor with all the courage and conviction that I could ask for, and I can feel my own resolve hardening, my own determination to do whatever it takes to save the Feywild growing stronger with each passing moment. It's a lot to ask of you, my friends, but I have faith in all of us. In each and every one of your abilities, your strengths, your bravery. And if anyone can pull this off, it's us. We've come this far together, and there's no way I'm letting that all go for naught. I take a deep breath, mustering my courage, preparing myself for what lies ahead. So what say we set out to find that tune from Corellon's past?
A look of realization crosses my features as I recall the song that we heard in Corellon's dreamscape. The song of remembrance. I close my eyes, trying to remember the exact words and melody of the hauntingly beautiful tune. We have already been introduced to it, and I'm quite sure that Corellon's avatar will recognize it as well.
If we play that tune on the whispering seraphim lute, I'm certain the avatar would be drawn to us, and with your magic, we can use her desire for the music to trick her into following us into Sigil.
That should work then. The sooner you get the song figured out and start practicing, the better chance we have of making this plan work out.
So, once we know where to find the closed sigil gate near the academy, and we figure out a good spot to play that song, we can put our plan in motion. There's nothing to do but go for it now. We'll need to be swift and decisive.
I agree. The sooner this happens, the better. The balance of nature hangs by a thread, and we can't afford any more delays.
The group has a plan. Now you have to track down the Song of Remembrance. Elendil will need to attune to the whispering seraphim lute. The party will need to find the gate to Sigil in Frostburn Academy and also find out what the gate key is.
The Song of Remembrance, that's a start, I say, nodding at the confirmation. I'll find a way to attune myself to the lute so I can play it with as well. The deeper the emotion, the more powerful the music will be.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.